Vovada, Wednesday the 25th of February, Rabbi David Stern, Hida Mitzvah.
Parsha, the beginning, Torah says, the mitzvah to make the big day kuhuna. If you look in the chinuch, as usual, he gives shroshe ha-mitzvah. So he gives two explanations for the mitzvah of big day kuhuna. The first is, the chinuch has this idea, ha-odom nifan lefi pu'loisa, a person will be impressed by his actions, and he says that the kohen is wearing big day kahuna, and when he looks at himself, he sees the big day kahuna. So therefore, his machshava when he performs the avoda will be better. He'll be more focused because the big day kahuna will remind him of his purpose, his role to mechavan properly in the avoda. And then the second reason he gives is from the Rambam or Nebuchadnezzar, which is maybe the more normal understanding, which is it's in order to beautify the kelim in the Mishkan, big day kuhuna, also were in order to impress and to, like in a king's palace, to make it a more beautiful sort of service. So, taking my cue from those two reasons that the chinuch gives, I'd like to come back to that all the way at the very end. Maybe to explain that these are actually two different aspects of Hidur Mitzvah, as we'll see. I'd like to say a little dialogue on the matter of Hidur Mitzvah. Hidur Mitzvah, everybody knows, is a concept derived from the words Ze, Keli, Va'anveilu. It's a Gemara in a few places. In Shas, I'm quoting from Shabbos, Kuflud, Lamad Gimel, Lamad Beis. In Tanya, the Gemara says, Ze, Keli, Va'anveilu, Hisnoya Lefonov B'mitzvahs. Beautify before him, before the Rabbi Shalom, in your performance of mitzvahs. Asay Lefonov, make before him Sukkah Noya, Lulav Noya, Shrecha Noya, Tzitzis Noya, Sefer Torah Noya, Ksoy Boy Lishmoy Bidyoy Noya, Bekulmus Noya, Belav Le'uman, Bekorcha B'shiroy Noya. So, this concept of buying the beautiful Shofar, Lulav, Esrog, Sefer Torah, the Aron Kodesh, whatever it is derived from Zer Keli Vanveyu, Hisnoye, the fun of the mitzvahs. There's a well-known machlokes in the Gemara in Sukkah. It's quoted over here in Daf Lamed Gimel and elsewhere in the Masechta, where the Gemara discusses the igud of a lulav, the binding of a lulav that you bind together with the hadas and arovas. Rabbi Yehuda holds lulav tzorich eged. It's part of the mitzvah lulav. One has to bind the lulav. He learns it out from Gzeir Shova, Lukachtem here, Lukachtem Agudas Ezoiv, that one has to bind a lulav. And the Chachomim hold lulav ain't tzorich eged. One doesn't have to bind the lulav. And the Gemara asks a question. Man tanna lehoda tana rabbono. We learned the Braisa. The Braisa says, Lulav mitzvah lo'oygedoi. It's a mitzvah to bind the lulav. But lo'oygedoi, ve'im lo'oygedoi. If you didn't bind it, kosher, it's kosher. So the Gemara asks, who is this Braisa going according to? If it's Rabbi Yehuda, we understand the beginning, it's a mitzvah lo'oygedoi because lulav tzorach eged. But then why im lo'oygedoi would it be kosher? Lulav tzorach eged should be ma'akev. It's like you haven't taken one of the minim. So you haven't done the mitzvah, because lulav tzorach eged, so why lulav ogdo would be kosher? And if it's the rabbonon, that lulav ain't tzorach eged, then why lulav mitzvah lo'ogdo? Why is there a mitzvah to bind the lulav in the first instance? So the Gemara answers, lo'olam rabbonon. This bride says, going according to the rabbonon. U'mitzvah mishum zeh keli vanveyu. Although they hold, it's not part of the mitzvah's lulav per se, lulav ain't tzorach eged, but mitzvah lo'ogdo, nevertheless, one should, in the first instance, lechatchila, it's correct to bind the lulav. Mishum ze keli va'anveyu. And Rashi says, Hisno lefonov, quoting Mechered this Brisa, it's in the simple meaning, that would seem to indicate that it's a beautiful form of taking the mitzvah of lulav if you bind it together with that asar harovos. At this point already one could raise an eyebrow and wonder why is it particularly more beautiful if you do bind the lulav versus if you don't bind the lulav. But that's what the Gemara tells us, that it's a hidur, a noi, l'chaira, for the mitzvah sukkah to bind the lulav. And that's why, and that's how we paskin that one should bind the lulav l'chatchila because of noi. Right. Now there is a shita of Rabbeinu Tam, which is also brought down in Halacha. Rabbeinu Tam is in Gittin Daf Mem Hei Omid Beis. The Gemara over there says that a woman, an isha, is disqualified from writing Sefer Torah, Tiller, and Mezuzah, because it says B'Ksharatem, B'Ksavtem, Mishyeshnei B'Kshira, Yeshnei B'Ksiva, Mishyeshnei B'Kshira, Eino B'Ksiva. Rabbeinu Tam has an interesting shita over there in Tosfos, and he says that similarly, he says, Ein isha oygedes lulav va'oysa tzitzis kibin delay mifkera. A woman shouldn't place tzitzis on a dalet kamphus, nor should she be the one to bind a lulav. Kibin delay mifkera, he derives it from a similar concept, since she's not in the mitzvah itself, so she cannot, as it were, put together the mitzvah, place the tzitzis on the garment, bind the lulav. This Rabbeinu Tam is difficult to understand in light of the Gemara that we've just quoted. Bishleima, the placement of tzitzis on the beged. So that is a prerequisite for the mitzvah of levishas tzitzis. In fact, that might actually be the very mitzvah. It doesn't say that you should wear a garment with tzitzis. It says you should va'osu tzitzis akam fevikdeim. The mitzvah is the asiyas tzitzis on a four-cornered garment that you're wearing. And a woman who is not commanded in the mitzvah of Dalat Kamphus is not commanded in the mitzvah of, is disqualified therefore from Asiyas Tzitzis. But Rabbi Tam goes on to say that she cannot bind the lulav. Why? Because she's not commanded in the mitzvah of taking lulav. Bishleim, if the binding of a lulav had anything to do with the mitzvah of taking of a lulav, then I could hear that a woman is not commanded in the mitzvah of taking a lulav, so she's not commanded in the mitzvah of binding of a lulav. But if we've concluded that Eged HaLulav LaHalocha is only Mishum Zekeli Maveyu, it's only to beautify the Lulav, so why should a woman be disqualified from beautifying the Lulav? It's simple. Hayala Aladas, I'll give you a moshel. Right? It says in the Gemara Shabbos, Sukkah Noel. Right? Mashallah, a beautiful Sukkah. Everyone does their best to have a most beautiful Sukkah. You hang decorations, etc. Hayala Aladas, that a lady cannot hang the decorations on the sukkah because she is not commanded in the midst of yeshiva sukkah, and therefore she cannot go about beautifying the sukkah. That clearly no one's ever suggested. So why should it be any different if igud halulav is no more than mishum zekeli vanveyu, the Gemara sukkah says? Why should Rabbeinu Tam suggest that because a lady is not commanded in the mitzvah of lekichas lulav, so she cannot, she's ineligible to do the ikud alulav, which is no more than a noi of the mitzvah of lulav? Why should a lady be disqualified? So this is the question which I'd like to, as Hashem, clarify. I'm quoting a vart that I saw in the Minchas Osher, Rav Osher Weiss. He quotes the following mahalach. He bases himself on a Gemara in Shabbos. I'm not going to go into the detail of the Gemara, because it takes quite a bit of time. But I'll just take out two elements of the Gemara which he quotes over there. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, the same Gemara that we just began with, Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara discusses two things there. First of all, the Gemara discusses Tzitzin She'ein Ma'akvin Esamila. There's a mitzvah of krisas orla, to remove the orla. And the Gemara discusses that there are two bits of skin which might be left post the cutting of the main orla. Certain bits of skin are ma'akev, tzitzin ma'akvin esamilo. They need to be removed And then there are certain tzitzim which are ein ma'akvinas amila, they're not ma'akev. Rashi explains that the Torah has to be nizgala roiv, the majority of the Torah has to be nizgala, and if you have tzitzim which are still chayfa roiv or Torah, it's ma'akev. But if it's only chayfa the miut of the Torah, then it's called ma'akev. But the Gemara over there says that those tzitzim she'im ma'akvinas amila should be removed in the first instance. And the Gemara explains because of noy mitzvah. The Gemara quotes the braisa that we just quoted, Zeh keli v'am ve'yu, sukkah no, tzitzis no, etc. These tzitzin, although they're not ma'akev the mila, but it's a noy for the mitzvah that they should be removed as well. The nafkamin is that on Shabbos, if you're siddik yodai, you're chayzeh for tzitzin, ha-ma'akvim, but you're not chayzeh for tzitzin, she'ei ma'akvim. But I can put in the very concept that tzitzin, she'ei ma'akvim, samila, should be removed for noy mitzvah. And then there's another piece of Gemara there, which discusses something else. The Gemara discusses in the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh that the Eidim have to journey to Yerushalayim to testify that they've seen the new moon, so that Bezer should be Mekal Shachodesh HaPiri Yosem. The Gemara discusses a situation where the moon was Nere Ba'alil, which means it was clearly visible on the horizon. So that seemingly, even without these particular Eidim making the journey, it is quite obvious that Bezdin or somebody in Yerushalayim would have already seen the moon, because it wasn't a small moon that was visible only in certain parts. It was clearly visible. The Gemara discusses the Gabbah Chilul Shabbos over there, whether in a case of Nira Ba'alil, Eidim have the right to be Mechal Shabbos to get to Yerushalayim. But it's mashma in the Gemara over there that to journey to Yerushalayim to be Mechal Shachodesh Al-Pi Re'iyah, when the moon was in any event visible, is associated with the concept of Hidur Mitzvah, because the Gemara shtells it to that discussion. So it's much more, it's associated with the concept of Hidur Mitzvah. So the Michas Asher asks the following questions. One could debate these questions, but I'm just trying to open up the matter. He says, I don't understand. Tzitzin she'im ma'akvinas amila. Normally, the concept of Hidur Mitzvah is, you have a Hefta Shom Mitzvah, so make it as beautiful as you can, have a beautiful Esrog, a beautiful Sukkah, Sefer Torah, Shiroi Noin, etc. But with Mitzvah Smila, there is a Masa Mitzvah, right? There's a Mitzvah of Krisas Ha'orla. It's a Masa Mitzvah. But is there any Hefta Shal Mitzvah over there about which it can be said, you want to beautify the object of the Mitzvah? Is there any Hefta Shal Mitzvah? Arguably, you put a tefillin on your arm. So you're supposed to have a beautiful pair of tefillin, but you're supposed to have a beautiful arm. it's a chefta shal mitzvah. It's a ma'aseh mitzvah to place tefillin on your arm. The arm is not part of the chefta shal mitzvah. Now, as I said, you could debate this, but I'm saying arguably, when it comes to mitzvah smila, the mitzvah is krisa sa'orlo. But the makom amila is not the is not a chefta shal mitzvah. You know, it should be adorned. I mean, no one would suggest that there's an inyan to adorn the makom amila with any other sort of adornment. So, in what way can it be suggested that the removal of these tzitzim, which are not ma'akiv, because the robot Torah was nizgala, there's an inyan to remove them because of hidur mitzvah. What hidur mitzvah can be associated with mitzvah smila? That's question number one. And then, furthermore, when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, so, the moon is going to be visible. But it's an inyan, a hidur mitzvah, says the Gemara, for the Eidim to come nonetheless to testify that they've seen it. Now what mitzvah are they beautifying over here? It becomes a more beautiful moon if Eidim come along and say that they've seen it, notwithstanding the fact that it was already seen by Beis Din. In any event, it becomes a more beautiful mitzvah. How can we appreciate that should be called a hidur mitzvah for Eidim to journey, to come along? Are they making a more beautiful Kiddush HaChodesh? How do we understand the concept of hidur mitzvah with these two sugyas that the Gemara on Shabbos seems to identify with hidur mitzvah? So, Rav Osher Weiss writes that one has to appreciate that there are actually two different gedorim in the mitzvah of hidur mitzvah. The first is the more ordinary visual concept we're familiar with of hidur mitzvah. It should be physically attractive. It should be a beautiful mitzvah. Make it sukkah noah, a lulav noah, a tzitzis noah, sefer Torah noah. It should be something. I remember I used to have in my building in Yerushalayim years ago a moicher esrogim, and as is the custom, you know, people would come look for esrogim, and then they'd run off to the rov, and he would say, if you're looking for a hodor, you should ask your wife. You know, does it look beautiful? She has an appreciation of beauty. The rov knows the halacha, but beauty is something which is something which one has to appreciate its beauty. So that is the first concept of hiddur mitzvah. It should be something which is beautiful. But then he says there's another concept of hiddur mitzvah. It's also derived from the same pasuk, zeh keli va'anveihu, but it's in a different plane. And that is not to make a mitzvah a more beautiful looking sort of mitzvah, but rather to do the ma'asah mitzvah in a more perfect manner, in a more optimal manner. That is also considered hiddur mitzvah. It looks exactly the same, but it's done in a more optimal manner. And he gives various examples to illustrate this point. There is a halacha, shemea ka'ina. Those things which one has to recite, one can hear a baruch yuva reciting them and have intent to be yotze, and one is yotze. Tosfos writes in brochus and in sukkah that notwithstanding that shemea is ka'ina, it's a hiddur mitzvah for the person to make the recital himself. Now what does that mean, it's a hiddur mitzvah? It's a more beautiful mitzvah. What Tosis means to say is that, like we find in Kiddushin, the concept of mitzvah boy, yosemi b'shulukhoi, it's a more optimal fashion rather than sit back and have someone else do the mitzvah on your behalf and be yotze with him. If you do it yourself, you engage yourself physically in the form of a mitzvah, that is a better manner of performing the mitzvah. But Tosfos calls that hiddur mitzvah. So we see the hiddur mitzvah applies to fulfilling a mitzvah in a more optimal way. Example number two. Rashbam in the beginning of Perek Aleph Pesachim says that on Erev Pesach, lo yoichal, a person shouldn't eat after Shoah Asiris, in order, so the Rashbam explains, in the evening, he should eat the matzah with a good appetite. Mishum hiddur mitzvah. So what does that mean? Mishum hiddur mitzvah. Is it a better matzah? A more beautiful matzah? If you're eating it with greater gusto? The answer is, it's not a better matzah, but it's a, if a person can perform a mitzvah albeit with a reluctance, or he can perform it with excitement and with passion and with appetite. So it's a better performance of the mitzvah if he does it with an interest, with an excitement. And the Rashbam calls that hiddur mitzvah. So we see that the performance of a mitzvah in a better way, Tosfos says, you engage in it yourself. The Rashbam says you engage in it with te'ovoim. That is called hiddur mitzvah. A third example I'll give you. Ne'er. Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, Ner Yishuvesoi. Hamhadrin, Ner L'chol Echot Ve'echot. So the mitzvah, Mikra Adin, is for the father of the household to light. The Mahadrin, you want to do a Hidr mitzvah? So Yankel and Ber and Shmuel, they should also light as well. So does that make the father's Ner a nicer Ner, a more beautiful Ner? Have you made it more attractive? You haven't made anything more attractive. But rather than them being yotze with the single ne'er of the household, they've gone and done their own ne'er. Again, akin to mitzvah boy yotze mibishluchoy. And the Gemara calls that hamhadrin. That's a hiddur. Why is it a hiddur? Because it's performing a mitzvah in a more optimal fashion. And this goes so far that we're all familiar with the concept of hiddur mitzvah ad shlish, that one should spend up to a third extra in order to buy, for example, a more beautiful esrog. And the Prima Godim, the Bi'ar Locha quotes in Tof Reish Nunvav, says that if you have a, if a, the halacha follows a particular shitta, and you can fulfill a mitzvah l'halacha in accordance with the view of the halacha, but you could spend up to a third more in order to be yaitza other days, which are not necessarily l'halacha, but l'chatchila, you want to be yaitza all the days, and you can spend up to a third more. So the Bi'ar Locha brings from the Prima Godim, the din of hira mitzvah shlish enjoins you to spend up to a third more in order to what? In order to fulfill the mitzvah according to Aladeus. So what type of hiddur mitzvah is it? The Torah says it's a hidden mitzvah because I'll be doing the mitzvah in a better way. Satisfying all views, it'll be considered a hidden mitzvah. So the point Minchas Osher, Rav Moshe Weiss is suggesting is that there's two types of hidden mitzvah. The first type is to make it a more attractive, beautiful looking mitzvah. The second type is, it's also called hidden mitzvah, to perform a mitzvah in a better way, in a more optimal fashion, oneself, with excitement, etc. This is also called hidden mitzvah, to perform a mitzvah in a more optimal way. So coming back to the two points that the Gemara Shabbos mentioned, to remove tzitzin she'ei makrin esamila. So we asked, what chefta shal mitzvah is there that I'm being mahadar? The answer is there isn't a chefta shal mitzvah. But there is a master mitzvah, krisa sa'orla. Now you could do krisa sa'orla in the bare minimal fashion, which is to remove the roiv of the orla. But kipshuto, if you do it without any chochmas, the Torah says remove the orla, it means remove the entire orla. So the tzitzin she'ei makrin esamila will show that I'm performing the mitzvah in the best possible way. I'm removing the entire orla. It might not be absolute requirement, but I'm doing it in the best possible manner. That's the hidden mitzvah that the Gemara over there is referring to. Why the removal of the tzitzin she'ei makrin esamila qualifies under hidden mitzvah. And similarly, this idea that even though the moon was visible, for Eidim to come and testify that they've seen it falls under the remit of hidur mitzvah, not because the moon will become a more beautiful moon or the kiddush will be a more beautiful looking sort of kiddush achodish that Bezdin will say mekudush, but rather for you to have seen the moon and to take part in the mitzvah of kiddush achodish, that is the misidre kiddush achodish that those Eidim kozeh re'eva kadesh, those who see should come and be mekudush the levona. So that is the more optimal way of doing the hidden mitzvah, not to rely on the fact that Beis Din will have been Mekadosh, no doubt, the Chodesh in any event, but to, for those who have seen it, come and offer their testimony that they've seen the Levona. That is the better way to do the mitzvah's Kiddush HaChodesh, and that is called hidden mitzvah. Okay, so now having clarified these two concepts of hidden mitzvah, we can come back to explain the shit of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said that a lady should not bind the luluf, because she's not commanded to take a luluf, so she shouldn't bind the luluf. And the question was, the binding of the luluf is just a din noi. So if she can decorate the sukkah, why can't she bind the luluf? So let us now examine. What type, the Gemara said, luluf mitzvah la'ogdo is going like the Rabbonon. Luluf ain't tzorich eged. But mitzvah la'oide mishum ha'anveinu. So what type of noi is involved in the binding of a luluf? So I asked you earlier, does a luluf look more beautiful if it's tied together? Or the other name? You know, I might say no, it looks more beautiful when you see the entire luluf. It's not covered with leaves on the side. Yet the Gemara says it's a more beautiful mitzvah. Another point. The halacha of igud is that one should tie a kesher al gaba kesher. Mr. Brewer discusses our types of koshikal and the rings that we have, and he says that that's also okay. But Ikra Adim, one should have a kesher agav a kesher. An aniva, a bow, is not considered a valid kesher for the igud of a luluf. If anyone has ever bought some flowers for your wife for Shabbos, and you ask the florist to present them in a bouquet and to tie it, what would you ask? Would you say, do me a favor, make a good double knot? Or would you say, make a pretty bow? I would go for the pretty bow, because I think the pretty bow looks prettier. The double knot is not a noi, it's not a more beautiful manner of tying, yet the Gemara says, and that's the halacha, that the igud of a luluf should be tied, dafka, with one bow, one knot, and then a second knot, and no bow, leave the bow alone. And a bow is not valid. Is it because a double knot is more beautiful than a bow? The answer is that here we're discussing not noi type A. Here we're discussing noi type B. To mean as follows. Reb Yehuda said, luluf tzorich eged. He has gzeir shova, ulukachtem, ulukachtem, agolus ezoi, that the mitzvah, netilat luluf, ulukachtem, achem, requires that it should be a taking, a single taking, a taking of one item, as it were, an item that's totally bound, interbound with one another, the Hadassah and Rose, it should be one binding. We hold one taking. We hold it doesn't have to be Ikra Din, rule of Ein Tzorach Nega. It doesn't have to be one take. You could take one, then you could pick up the other even. You certainly don't have to bind them all together, Mi'ikra Din. But the Noi, the Anveyu, requires what? That you should do as best the possible taking of your mitzvah seluluv. As best the possible of of the lekicha seluluv you should do. Right? We said that type 2 Noi was to do the mitzvah in the optimal fashion, in the best possible way. It says, Ulukachtem lochem b'yom rishon. So take the lulav in the best possible way. The best possible way to do ulukachtem is to do a lekicho achas. The igud is a noi, not because it makes the lulav a more beautiful looking lulav, it's because it'll make the lekicha salulav a more perfect lekicha. The Loshon Rashi I'm quoting to you in Lamed Zayin on the base in Sukkah says as follows. Why should a lulav be bound? So Rashi says, it should be agudim yachad li yois lekicho achas. That's a Loshon Rashi. It should be bound so that it'll be a single unified lekicho. It'll be a more perfect lekicho achas if it's bound. And therefore, the more bound it is, a ketzer, like in Leches Kosher on Shabbos, right? A double knot is a kshira, a single knot is not a kshira, and an aniv is not a kshira in Shabbos. So the more bound it is, the more it's a lekicho achas. It's a noi in the oifen halekicha saluluv, rather than a noi in the presentation of the luluv.
So it should be a good job. That works with a luluv, but doesn't necessarily work with mila. With mila, we do it to make it look good.
No, I'm suggesting otherwise. You're not doing it to make it look good. No one's. It's not for appearances. It's in order to make the krisa sa'orla a better krisa that the entire orla is removed, not just the majority. The Torah says, umaltem, the whole orla. So I'm going to do it in the best possible way, not rely on the minimal requirement of roiv. I'm going to do the entire orla to be a better maisa krisa sa'orla, not the appearance of the lulav post fact of the mila afterwards. So that is the noi of the igud of a lulav. In contradistinction, there's a Mishnah in Sukkah which says that Rabbi Yehuda holds that because of Lulav Tzorach Eged, so you need to tie it with Minoi, otherwise it would be Bal Tosif. And Rabbi Meir says Lulav Ein Tzorach Eged, and therefore you can use even Chut and Mashiach. Rabbi Meir brought a raya that Anshei Yerushalayim would use Gimoni Shalzov, gold thread. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Mishom Raya, Afeim Oyukoshin Oyoygon Oysom Milamato. Underneath they had Minoi, and then on top of that they put Gimoni Shazov. So Rashi says, why did they put Gimoni Shazov? Underneath they had a Minoi Lashem Mitzvah Eged. And on top they had Gimoni Shazov, Lenoi Ba'alma. Now that type of Noi, that gold thread, that's Noi type A. That's to make the lulav a more beautiful lulav. Gold thread makes it beautiful. That's Noi type A. That's nothing to do with making it Lekicha Achas, because the Lekicha Achas is being achieved by the underneath tie, which is Minoi. The tie above is Lenoi Ba'alma. But this Lulav Mitzvah Lo'idah of Shittas Rabbonon, that is in order to make it Lekicha Achas. So now we understand what Rabbi Natan said. Rabbi Natan asked the question, Rabbi Natan said, a woman shouldn't tie a Lulav. So we ask, why can she decorate the sukkah? The answer is, decorating the sukkah is noi type A. It's to make a sukkah noi. It's got nothing to do with yeshiva sukkah. It's got to do with chefza shel mitzvah, making it a more beautiful chefza. Anyone can make it a more beautiful chefza. Someone even who's not commanded in the mitzvah yeshiva can also beautify the sukkah. She's simply approaching the chefza shel mitzvah, making it more beautiful. A woman can do that too. Rabbi Natan says a woman shouldn't tie a lulav, because tying of a lulav is not beautifying the lulav, it's beautifying the mitzvah lekichas lulav. And therefore a woman who's not in the mitzvah lekichas lulav has no part in beautifying mitzvah lekichas lulav. Because it's a chelik of mitzvah lekichas lulav to make it more perfect lekicha. So a lady who's not in the mitzvah lekichas lulav has no business beautifying, making mitzvah lekichas lulav into a better lekichas lulav. So to come back to Big Day Kohuna, maybe one can suggest that with Big Day Kohuna, the Torah commands, Vosisa Big Day Kodesh, L'Aaron Achicha, V'chovev Tzvoros, the Chinuch says two reasons. The first is that they should have a better kavona in their avoda by being aware the whole time of the Big Day Kohuna that they're wearing. And the second is to make it a more attractive looking service when the onlooker will see the Kohanim in their big Dekunah doing the Avodah, it'll be more beautiful. So here we see that the Torah is commanded by Big Day Kuna that both elements of Hidur, so to speak, should be applicable. Sai, it should be a more perfect mitzvah. Make sure that you do the Avodah with the intent, with the Machshava, making it as perfect an Avodah as possible. The Shleimus Kiyum Amasa should be as perfect as possible. And Sai, that it should also be a more beautiful looking mitzvah, it should be more attractive. That aspect of Noi should also be present.
Hey.